Will you turn to Genesis 26, please? Genesis 26, Isaac gets Abraham's blessing. This is another one of our Genesis stories. Perhaps we should call these first family stories. The Genesis stories are all family stories from beginning to end, from Adam and Eve right to the end. Three-fourths of Genesis tells the story of Abraham's family, and through Christ, we Gentile believers have been grafted into that family. So there's a real sense in which Abraham's family, the first family of blessing, is also our first family. So these stories in Genesis from chapter 12 to the end of the book cover four generations. First generation is Abraham and Sarah. Second generation, their son Isaac and Rebekah. Third generation, Isaac and Rebekah's son Jacob and his two wives, Leah and Rachel. And the fourth generation is the 12 sons of Jacob and his two wives. Four generations of the first family. And in these stories, there is good and bad stuff happens between husbands and wives. And good and bad stuff happens between parents and children. And good and bad happens between siblings, usually between brothers. These stories are the foundation of Israelite faith, and therefore they are also the foundation of our faith. It's dawning on me that it will not be accidental that the Bible and the story of the blessing that comes to us Gentiles begins with all these family stories. They are not simply colorful old stories. They are colorful old stories, but they lay down the bedrock of how God deals with the people he blesses. Spiritually, these are our ancestors. And so we have been blessed with their blessing and we walk in their steps. And these stories are given us to guide us. Are they model families? No. Are they ideal families? Certainly not. They're families with troubles and hard times and sins. They're not horrible families, but they certainly have troubles and sins. And God's blessing continued in and through those families, in spite of their failings and through their failings. And they continue to trust God, and their lives also show that clearly. So these stories show us a lot about how God deals with his people. And this is the core way in which God deals with people. So let's not be reluctant to put ourselves in these stories. As we read them, we realize that although society has changed an awful lot in almost 4,000 years, people have not changed very much, and God has not changed either. So that's just about all of these stories. Now to specifically to Genesis chapter 26. The first paragraph of Genesis 26 tells us what God said to Isaac. And it also, in that paragraph, names his father Abraham three times. And the rest of chapter 26 names Abraham five more times. So by this regular drawing us or reminding us about Isaac's father Abraham, God is telling us to connect what he did earlier with Abraham with what he's doing now with Isaac. See, God came to Abraham out of the blue, as near as we can tell, in Genesis 12. His father and his siblings and his relatives did not serve God, but God called Abraham. But God did not come to Isaac in that way, God out of the blue. God came to Isaac to continue very clearly what God began with Abraham. He only came out of the blue to Abraham, and after that, not so. And so the Genesis 26 stories all together are teaching the one simple truth, and that is that God blessed Abraham's son, Isaac, just as he had blessed Abraham. The blessing was passed on. So that the truth is simple. But we're dealing with real people in real times and places, and it is never quite that simple. So we get a story with several parts to illustrate how the blessing moved from Abraham to Isaac. And we'll go through the Genesis 26 story in five parts. So part one, God promises Abraham's blessing to Isaac. It's in starting in chapter 26, verse 1. There was a famine where Isaac and Rebekah were living, just like happened to Abraham. And so Isaac and Rebekah moved to where the Philistines lived, which was not too far from where they were. And there the Lord appeared to Isaac, and he said, "Don't go to Egypt because of this famine. Live where I tell you to live. Stay where you are, and I will be with you, and I will bless you here." When God first came to Isaac's father Abraham, he told Abraham to pack up and move, which Abraham did. But God tells Isaac to stay where he is, because, said God, "I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, and I'm going to give you many descendants like the stars in the sky, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." And why am I going to do this for you? I'm doing this for you, Isaac, because your father Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. Wow. Like, we need to catch this for a few reasons. One, Abraham was good, but we would not have said he was that good. He failed a few times. But Abraham's basic direction was to honor God, and his life showed that. And to God, Abraham was wonderful. Maybe God is not as hard on us as we think he is about the places where we fail. Abraham obeyed me, God says, and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. When God promises to bless us, it does come with responsibility. God promised to bless Abraham, but Abraham had to do stuff. He had to leave and move. Mostly, God wants us to do what is to be just and right, to be good people. God promised to bless Abraham and took care of him, and Abraham lived obediently in God's ways. Not perfectly, not at all, but still, Abraham was devoted to God, and that you could see clearly. So why will God bless Isaac? Because his father Abraham was devoted to God. And in a sense, blessing Isaac was God's reward to Abraham, and God made that clear. So Isaac listened. He obeyed God, and they stayed there where they were with the Philistines. That's the first section. Second paragraph, "Rebekah is my sister," starts in chapter 26, verse 7. When the men around there asked Isaac about Rebekah, he said, "She is my sister." He did this because he was afraid, and the Bible tells us what Isaac thought to himself. "The men of this place might kill me because of Rebekah, because she is beautiful." This all sounds familiar, isn't it? Doesn't it? Abraham did this to Sarah at least twice. This must have been before Jacob and Esau were born. That's told us in the previous chapter, chapter 25, but the things in Scripture are not written down always in the order in which they happened. This deceit about Rebekah being the sister would not work if they had two little boys running around. They were married 20 years before the twins were born, so we assume chapter 26 happens mostly in those 20 years. One day Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out his window and he saw Isaac carrying on with Rebekah, caressing her. Some kind of public display of affection that brothers and sisters don't do. Now, they're married, Isaac and Rebekah, and they cannot always keep their hands off each other. So, Abimelech called Isaac in. "She's your wife, Isaac. Why did you lie? Why did you say Rebekah's your sister?" And Isaac was honest. He said, "I thought I might lose my life on account of her." And Abimelech was offended and horrified. "What have you done to us? One of us might have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us all." Abimelech knew that men should leave a married woman alone. And he did not like it that Isaac had put his whole people in danger of that. Abimelech ordered all his people, "Anyone who harms this man or this woman will surely be put to death." Isaac didn't behave well here. He lied to save himself, and he put his wife at great risk, and he put the Philistines in danger too, which their king could feel. And it all seems unnecessary too. Once they knew that Isaac and Rebekah were married, they respect that. What we need to see is that even though Isaac was faithless and disobedient, God still took care of him and Rebekah. But God had just promised Isaac, "Stay here with the Philistines, I will be with you and bless you." For Isaac, though, once he was frightened, suddenly there's no God in his picture. And that promise didn't count. In the Bible, the problem with fear is not that we feel it and don't like it. That's true and normal that we feel it and don't like it. The question is, will fear steer us or will God steer us? And Isaac listened more carefully to his fear than to his God. And his fear led him to sin against God and to temporarily abandon his wife and put hospitable Philistines in danger of God's punishment. So, that's what happens when fear speaks louder than God. When Abimelech found out they were married, he declared the death penalty for anyone who harmed either Isaac or Rebekah. And that's the last line of this story, and that's the bottom line. God's protection. In spite of Isaac's significant failure here to trust, God took care of him and Rebekah and the Philistines. Isaac was faithless, but God remained faithful. Do we think that, I would tend to think this, do we think that if God appeared to me in the night and said clearly to me, "Ed, I will be with you and I will bless you," do I think I would live with more faith the next day? I'd probably start the day in a good mood, but I can't count on that. Isaac doubted God when he was afraid, and he lied, and he left his wife Rebekah unprotected, which is exactly what Abraham did right after he got the promise. But God still kept his promises, and he protected them both. Third paragraph, blessings and troubles. Isaac planted crops that same year and harvested 100-fold. Whatever he's seeding, corn or wheat or whatever, for every bushel of seed he planted, he got 100 bushels in the harvest. So we assume that is the best it could be in a perfect year. Everything went just right. And it says this happened because the Lord blessed him. Because we have to remember, this is in a time of famine. They're happy for any crops. And he got a particularly luxurious crop in a time of famine because the Lord blessed him. And Isaac's flocks and herds also increased, and he had got many more servants. And the Philistines envied him, and they got grumpy. To get even with him for being wealthy and blessed, they filled in his wells. His father Abraham had dug wells there, and the Philistines filled them with dirt. And then King Abimelech said, "Move away. You're too powerful. We don't want you around here." So Isaac moved. And he opened up his father's wells, which the Philistines had filled, and he dug a new well. But the people of that place said, "This is our well." So he dug another well, and the people of that place quarreled about that one too. So he moved from there and dug another well, and then they left him alone. And Isaac said, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish." That's important. Isaac's not one to stick up for his own rights. He stayed on the move until people left him alone. But God was still with him, following him around, blessing him, taking care of him, and Isaac can see it. And when people finally left him alone, he said, "The Lord has given us room, and we will flourish." And he was right. And that's how that section ends, and take it seriously. In spite of being pushed around, God gave him room so he could flourish. That's how God takes care of his people. Paragraph 4, God renews his promise. This is chapter 26, starts in verse 23. About that time, God appeared to Isaac at night and renewed his promise to Isaac to remind him that he had not forgotten. At night, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham." Just introducing himself, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Don't be afraid. What's Isaac afraid of? He was afraid before to be killed because of Rebekah, but that's been taken care of for some time. We already noticed that Isaac was not one to stick up for his own rights. He's meek. He would move away if people were difficult. It seems he was also timid. He was afraid of grumpy people. He tends to be meek and timid, it seems. And God said, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I've got your back. You're going to be fine. I will bless you for the sake of my servant Abraham. Your father was devoted to me, so I'm devoted to you." That's how God talked to Isaac. And people, this is the blessing we get. We could take this as directly from God to us today. 5 times in Genesis, God promised, "I will bless all the nations through you. I will bless all the nations through you." God said that 3 times to Abraham, once to Isaac at the beginning of this chapter, and the 5th time once to Jacob, which happens later. "I will bless all the nations through you." And that is the blessing that Christ made available to Gentiles. But what blessing do we think that is? If we just had Genesis, and we need to give Genesis its say here, what was the blessing that God wanted to bring all the nations? It's just this, people. "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you. I will make your life fruitful. For the sake of my servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will be with you and watch over you, just as I was with them and watched over them." That is what God has always wanted to do to every son of Adam and every daughter of Eve on this planet. And whenever people acknowledge him and turn to him, that's the blessing he gives. And the New Testament often repeats those kind of language. All of these things are well supported in the New Testament. "Don't be afraid," God says to each of us, "for I am with you. I will bless you. I will make your life fruitful." Those 4 things. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you. I will make your life fruitful for the sake of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were devoted to me, God says, and I promised them I would do this for you. And I will indeed do this for you. In response to this promise renewal from God, Isaac built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord can mean calling on God for some kind of help. That happens often enough, but not always. Sometimes calling on the name of the Lord means to worship, give God honor for something he's done. And this story is like that. So God was good to Isaac that night, appearing to him and repeating his blessing. And in the morning, Isaac did not just carry on as usual. The previous time God blessed him, he acted in fear afterward. But this time, God did something unusual for Isaac. So Isaac did something special that day to honor God. He built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. If God gives you or me a special encouragement, we could do this too. Build an altar. Do something with your hands to remember the event. Put a stone in the corner of your yard. Make a bookmark from your Bible and write the promise on it and write the date. Do something with your hands to celebrate God's help and to remember. Don't just say that was special, but give a gift or do something. In Genesis 35:14, this kind of thing, building an altar to acknowledge a message from God, a kind message, an encouraging message from God, happens regularly. In chapter 35, Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place God spoke to him, and he poured out an offering of wine on the stone and an offering of oil. He set up a stone, poured out wine and oil on it as his response to God's kind words to him during the night. God doesn't do that. Didn't do that for them every night, and he had no intention of doing so. So Isaac built an altar, worshipped and honored the Lord. So build something with your hands and give God a gift, whatever it works for you to do and give, once in a while, if God gives you a special message of encouragement. That's how Isaac responded, and that happened often in Genesis. 5th section of this chapter, and the last one, the Philistines want a treaty. King Abimelech and a few important officials came to visit Isaac. This time, Isaac was neither meek nor timid. Isaac said to King Abimelech, You hated me, and you told me to go away, so I did. And now you come to visit me? Why? What do you want? They were very polite to Isaac. We see clearly that your God Yahweh is with you. We want a sworn agreement between us, a treaty, so that you won't harm us, just as we did not harm you, but always treated you well, and we sent you away peacefully, because you are certainly blessed by your God Yahweh. Well, it's not hard to read between the lines here. They're afraid of Isaac, as they have been for some time. They can see that he's mild and gentle. He's not a fighter, and yet his wealth and influence grows and grows. And Isaac's God, whoever that Yahweh is taking very good care of him. And if he ever starts to resent the Philistines, who actually sent him away rudely, they were destroyed. So they say, make a treaty with us so you won't harm us. The Philistines can see that Yahweh is looking out for Isaac. They can see that he's blessed by his God. They say that twice. And that is the most important part of this story. Every one of these stories makes some crucial point that God is blessing Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac found out what they wanted, he made a feast for them, and they all ate and drank together. What a nice thing. He was good to them. When he found out what they wanted, he made a great feast, and they all ate and drank together. And the next morning they made solemn promises not to harm each other, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they left peacefully. He sent them away more kindly than they sent him away. And that's how that story ends. So let's summarize this chapter. God promised Abraham that he would bless him and his descendants. And that story and how it looked basically takes us from Genesis 12 to 25, 14 chapters. And Genesis 26 tells us about God keeping, Genesis 26 tells us about God keeping that promise to Abraham's son Isaac. God moved it all on to Abraham and Sarah's Isaac and his wife Rebekah, and it carries on there. And in two of these scenes, God makes the promises directly to Isaac, and the other stories show how it happened. We read about Isaac's fear and about his failure, and we read about Abimelech protecting Isaac and Rebekah, and Isaac's great harvest, and all his troubles with the wells, and then given space to flourish. It's clear to the Philistines that God Almighty is looking out for Isaac. And let's come back to this four-part blessing. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you. I will make your life fruitful. That was the standard blessing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the further descendants, that whole family. And these are also repeated often in the New Testament to all followers of Christ. And as far as Genesis is concerned, that is the blessing that God wants to spread to every nation on earth. And God says that four-part blessing to every one of us here today that has trusted in Christ. And he means it just as much today as he meant it that night in Gerar, most of 4,000 years ago, when he said it to Isaac. Same God, same blessing. And because of Christ, it comes to us too. In response, God wants us to worship him and live obediently in his ways. And once in a while, though, if we get a special encouragement from God, we could build an altar. We could make something with our hands by which to remember God and honor him. We could give him a gift. So make a concrete response of some kind to God himself to show that you were listening and that you treasure the message he has given you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and all their sons, thank you for showing yourself to us in these stories. Thank you for how you led and you watched over those first families and how you blessed them. And thank you that though they failed sometimes and walked away from your ways, your faithfulness continued. And thank you for how determined you are, our God, to spread that kind of blessing to all the nations so that we here today find ourselves inside that same care. And thank you that you are always with us and that you have decided to bless us and make our lives fruitful, and nothing can stand in your way. And though we are often still afraid, O God, thank you that we don't need to be. Lead us, O God, to respond in faith and to live in your ways as Abraham did. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord save us from living fearfully. May the Lord be with us. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make our lives fruitful in his kingdom. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.